This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Don't know what the hell this is at all, and
yeah,
I'm gonna be.
It's a genuine.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just the name alone. It's some fucking out drinking with the homies, coach shit that you're trying to decipher. Like when you like meet some fucking chicks, and you're like, I don't know if he's telling me we gotta bail, or if I gotta play some defense with the fucking mother hen or the ugly duckling. I don't know what that signal is, bro. You're throwing me signals from third, and I'm like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Do I steal home or do
my
I
safe,
stay
my
here
safe later? Word is blueberry pancakes.
Yes. Oh God, yeah.
Look at this killer tan line I got right here.
Ooh.
I'm on the hunt for, I've been trying all these different face sunscreens because my swim cap goes to right here clearly. And then my goggles. And,
swim cap?
Yeah. When I'm out in the ocean, I have a little neoprene thing. It's got a chin strap. I look like cosmonaut in water. It's very
Did
nice.
You say chin strap?
Yeah.
Get out of the locker
room. It covers my ears.
Get out of the locker room right now.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I wear a neoprene swim cap with a chin strap while I am swimming 3.5 miles in the ocean 3 times
you guys
a week. How's that? Can I go back in the locker room now?
No. Yeah, you guys remember? You remember that old? You remember that old school diss back in the day? No. You guys remember that old school diss back in the day? Your mom's got an afro with a chin strap.
The chin strap, yeah. And a peg leg with a kickstand.
That's it.
Well, welcome to the locker room, boys and girls. You know, as you know, this is all true. It's all true lies.
Yes.
True lies and strong drinks. We cover all kinds of topics that we don't normally cover on War Stories, and we have a revolving cast, but we have our mainstays that usually join you. We have me, Tom, hello, and I am joined by, of course, Matt.
Yeah,
and
me,
Mark.
Matt, over here. Oh, I thought we were introducing ourselves.
Oh, yes, we can. Go.
Such a loosey-goosey format here. We never know what the hell's going on.
Eventually, we'll settle on something.
Probably not.
And we've got Marco. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, good morning. I got the baby asleep in the other room, so God help us.
That's all right.
Last week was you and the puppy. This week is me and the baby. So
that's right.
Yeah,
we're a day
good
late
luck,
just because of scheduling.
And
we're recording this on the same day it comes out, which is normally something we don't do.
That was my fault. I fucked up my days yesterday. 100% my fault. 100%.
But we're going to do an ambush topic today. And this is it's fun because, you know, we always talk for a minute or two before we start recording. I had mentioned the topic to you guys, and I love it because I got exactly the same reaction separately from both of you. I have mentioned this name or this place, I guess, a couple of times on previous episodes. We are going to talk about Bohemian Grove. And
I thought it was Bohemian Rhapsody. You're talking about the song by Queen, right?
Well, so that's the funny thing. Like, when you say Bohemian Grove to people, Marco, what was it you said it sounded like?
sounded like some fucking code word, like we're out drinking and you scoped out a group, a gaggle of babes, if you will, a plethora of Bettys.
And you know, oh, that's a Bohemian Grove.
And you're right, and you're giving me this. You're giving me a signal. You're like, oh, remember, yeah, that one time at the Bohemian Grove, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know if I'm supposed to like dive on the grenade for you, or if we're gonna cut and bail, or like,
yeah, it's like wingman code talk for when you're out with the boys.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a sex position that involves a pine tree air freshener and a hippie scarf.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you mention the word bohemian, you automatically think like, you know, flowers in the hair, flowy skirt, dancing out in a field of daisies. You think hippie.
Okay.
Like you hear bohemian and you think hippie.
So I gave Matt a brief rundown before Marco joined us about what Bohemian Grove is, just so we could decide if it was something we even wanted to even try and get into today. Because this is one of those things where if it's interesting enough and we don't get far enough, we can do a deep dive later. But this is kind of a Tom's things you didn't know you didn't know is what we've got now. So Marco, I'm curious. I haven't said anything else to you. This is the first you're hearing of the name.
Yep.
If you were just to guess that I'm saying we're going to talk about Bohemian Grove, what do you think it is?
Oh, either something related to the Dirty Sanchez. Something that you may find in the same description as a you know, chili dog or a Cosby sweater,
somebody is pausing this right now and Googling Dirty Sanchez, and God help your soul if that's the first time you're Googling that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
or the old Alabama steamer or any of that fun stuff.
The hot Carl. I think the one that people did he say a Cosby sweater? I'm not even going to describe it. Just take a moment and just look it up.
Abraham Lincoln.
It's all terrible business. Terrible. We are in the locker room. Terrible business.
We're in the locker room. Terrible. We're not going to explain any of these things to you, but just trust me. If you want to end your relationship with someone, you can pick any one of these.
Yeah.
Post it on Reddit.
And if it doesn't end your relationship, then you really do need to end it because that person's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Run.
You gotta post the shit on Reddit.
Yeah, the salty pirate, the angry dragon. Jeez. Anyway, so it sounds like a weird sex position, but if you were to hazard a real, genuine guess off the top of your head, what would you guess?
You know,
I know it's so vague, it could be anything.
It could be something as serious as a historical like landmark where like the government has retreats, you know, like Mount Rainier or something like that, you know, like it could be something like that, or you know, like something with like actual historical importance.
You're getting warm.
Or what?
Because maybe you'll get the other half.
I'm like, you shouldn't even say that. Like,
no, but there's missing components. You might get them in your second guess.
Yeah, either that, like, or I would say, since we're not using conspiracy theory anymore, I would say a...
We're not?
No, I'm sure. I listen to the podcast, so we're not using... That's right. I'll just...
We're not calling ourselves conspiracy theorists anymore. That's right.
No. I'll say a political hypothesis.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
So it's either going to be or it's a political hypothesis based on a certain historical location.
Okay, you're not too far off in some ways. Bohemian Grove is a group that has a location in California, just north of San Francisco. And it's literally where, since 1878, the most powerful men in the world get together for 2 weeks every year and go camping.
Yes, I have heard. I didn't know what the name was, but I have heard of this location. And there's been reporters that tried to get close to it and take pictures, and they could only, it's like Area 51. You can only, I mean, it's not legal to drive up to a certain part of the road, but as soon as it gets too private, It's
dirty. Oh yeah, there's a big fat gate.
Oh, well, and that, and there's guards, and there is like densely. It's like, yeah, the surrounding area is very densely, very dense tree lines and hills, and yeah. I didn't know what the name of it was, or I didn't remember what the name of it was, but I did. I do know what you're talking about.
So I'm gonna throw up some pictures as we're going on the YouTube feed, and then for people that. Exactly. For people that want to check it out themselves, they can Google it if they're just listening to this podcast. So here's kind of how I came to this. I just, you know, part of my job when I was a detective and then, you know, reading books and researching and stuff like that, I always thought if I wasn't a cop, I would be like a history teacher, just because I love researching, you know, crazy stuff from the past and trying to figure out, because, you know, history is always written by the winner. So it's interesting to find out what truly, you know, went on when you look back at some of these things. So I love the research. That's also part of how I gained this head full of useless information.
I attribute that to long poops and Reader's Digest. let's be real about that.
Oh, I don't think anybody knows what the Reader's Digest is anymore, though. But you know what I do love? Have you ever seen the big, the Uncle, I think it's called Uncle John bathroom readers?
Yes, I ran across one. Believe it or not, I ran across one like a 10 and under bookstore. And I was like,
pick one up, throw it in your bathroom. It's this. It's as thick as a dictionary, and it's just nothing but – you can open it to any page, and each page, it's its own little story. And sometimes it's like the true story of famous inventions that you didn't know, you know, how they came about, or, you know, where names come from, or the strangest animals. Anyway, it's fun. But because of my fascination with all things weird and research and all that kind of stuff – when I first heard about Bohemian Grove, I thought to myself, there's no way. There's no way that this exists, and this is the first I'm hearing about it. Turns out it exists, and that was the first I was hearing about it. This was probably 20, 25 years ago. Right around the same time I started my quest to unlock the secrets of Scientology and become their primary enemy, which I still haven't done. We know this. So Bohemian Grove is a 2,700-acre campground, and believe it or not, the address is public information. For those of you who want to go check it out, it's 20601 Bohemian Avenue, and I believe it's Monterio, California. I'm gonna have to refer back to my notes as we're going, because this is a lot of information. Monterio is just north of San Francisco. And I believe there's like Santa Rosa County, I believe, which is actually the county that is sitting right on top of San Francisco. And then Monterio is in Sonoma County, little teeny tiny town. I would be willing to bet, you know, if there is a police department or a sheriff's department, that they just turn a blind eye and say, we're not going anywhere near that subject. 'Cause two weeks every year, the actual group is based in San Francisco, the membership and all that kind of stuff. But for 2 weeks every year, the most rich and powerful people on the planet go there to camp. They go camping. And at first you're like, oh, it's a summer camp for rich people, because they just, you know, say, okay, we're not going to discuss business, and we're all going to sleep in tents, and we're going to have sing-alongs, and we're going to have chats by the campfire, and we're going to have a big play at the end of camp before everybody goes home, and then we'll go back to our regular busy lives the rest of the year. Well, it's a little more involved than that. I'll put up a picture. There is a picture of Harvey Hancock, Richard Nixon, Glenn Seaborg, Jack Sparks, and Ronald Reagan sitting at what's called the Owl's Nest together at a table in 1967. And the rumor is that at that table, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon had a very interesting discussion, which was, hey, whose turn is it to run for president next?
Yeah.
Right? In 1942, there was another government project. Now, again, the motto of this place is weaving spiders come not here. I guess that's a reference to them not wanting people conducting business, right, while they're at this retreat. You know, you don't want to go on a camping, you know, excursion and then do nothing but talk about business the whole time. So they tell people, okay, don't talk about business. And yet
I feel like there's a wink after that, though. It's like, don't talk about business.
Well, I mean, the War Stories podcast is proof. We started as this other podcast just talking about, you know, men's issues. And whenever it was a bunch of veterans and cops and firefighters getting together, inevitably we talked shop.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We had a common frame of reference. So if you get people together that are rich, powerful political figures and you know, donors and politicians and all that kind of stuff, they all run in the same circles. They all have the same issues with lobbyists and all that kind of stuff. Of course they're going to talk business.
By the way, right? Absolutely. Do you guys know that that line is from Midnight Summer's Dream? It's a Shakespearean line.
There you go. So they plagiarized their motto from William Shakespeare.
And
in the finest of traditions.
And you're right. It means that, you know, don't bring your junk in here. Basically, don't bring your outside business or troubles in here. Allegedly.
Well, one of the things we'll get to that in a second. So you're allowed to discuss certain aspects of business in small groups, apparently. So you can go off like as a couple of people and discuss. So I imagine if Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan really did have a discussion about whose turn it was to run for president, you know, like, hey, Dick. Yeah. What's up, Ronnie? Hey, let's go talk behind this tree for a second.
Right.
And they invite two or three of their closest friends who run the Republican Party, and they came to an agreement. Okay, Dick, your turn first, and then I'll run after. That's insane to me, right? But it also explains a lot why we would have 8 years of Bush, 8 years of Clinton, and then 8 more years of Bush. And then they tried to give us 8 more years of Clinton after that.
Oh.
Hill
dog.
If you don't think important government projects are being discussed there, how about the fact that in 1942, the Manhattan Project was started or discussed and began in earnest after a discussion at the Bohemian Grove? And for those of you who don't know their history, the Manhattan Project is not an old movie. The Manhattan Project is the project the United States used as the code name to invent nuclear weapons. So the decision to pursue nuclear weapons was made in 1942 at a sleepaway camp.
A summer camp.
During one of the breakout sessions. Okay, now let's break out into groups. Everybody go talk amongst themselves.
Hell no. That shit was done in the middle of the night where you're doing truth or dare. Okay, I dare you to, you know, stand on your head and blah, blah, blah. Well, I dare you to develop a fucking nuclear program that's an arsenal.
Oh, right.
Okay. I'm on.
You dare me to invent a nuclear bomb? Somebody get me Einstein on the phone.
I double dog dare you. He's with the German. Get him. I don't care. Get him. Make it happen.
Well, I mean, Operation Paperclip. If our audience doesn't know what Operation Paperclip was, Operation Paperclip is when the right before the Cold War started, just after World War II, when the Americans and the Russians got together, and they basically took all the really important German scientists like a deck of cards, or like two kids on the playground picking teams for basketball. You know, I get that one. Okay, your turn. Okay, I get that one. We literally just divvied up the Nazi scientists among the Russians and the Americans so that we could get their V2 rockets and stuff like that. So it's not unheard of.
Yeah. You know?
It was a draft. It's okay. It was a draft.
Just see, you're being arrested for war crimes. I know how to build rockets. Okay, come over here.
And with the number 2 pick of the draft, the United States selects
Wernher von Braun.
all of a sudden, people behind.
Oh my gosh, he's so good with rockets.
He holds up in a U.S. jersey, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to thank everybody for this opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Jewish people.
Oh my god. Well, we never said we're in good taste.
Exactly. Well, there's my first thing that's going to... Hey, I didn't kill him. They did.
True.
And that's when Thomas got canceled.
Again.
No, but Oppenheimer was the guy who ran the Manhattan Project, Robert Oppenheimer, and he was there at that meeting at the Grove where they decided to pursue the atomic bomb program with an executive committee. And they had, it was an executive committee that had the president of Harvard, Yale, the representatives from General Electric, people from the, I mean, how is that not discussing business when you have the heads of General Electric and Standard Oil and Robert Oppenheimer and the head of Harvard, Yale, and Princeton all sitting around saying, should we get Einstein to invent a bomb?
That's not how it happened. They were drunk and playing cornhole, you know, saying over in the corner, right? Half of them were doing beer bong. This is a summer camp. We forget the fact, like, we're so all about, like, the theory, the hypothesis, excuse me, the political hypotheses.
Unpopular political hypothesis.
Unpopular political hypotheses, right? That these guys were all to get, dude, seriously. Half of them were playing beer pong. The other half of them were doing cornhole, you know, over by the river. They're checking out a young whoever the hell you want to throw in there, you know, at the time. You know, that was lazing by the river, talking about, like, you go. No, you go. Hey, tell you what. If you don't go ask her out right now, then you're going to have to suck it up and create an atom bomb. I don't even know what that is, but you're going to have to put that shit together. You need to figure it out. There's enough guys here. There's enough money and enough brains in here. Oh, you're not going to go? You're not going to go? Do the bomb.
Oppenheimer sits down and goes, you know, me and my buddy Einstein, we have figured out that we could split an atom, and just that alone would create an explosion so big you could level an entire city.
You know, and most of the people there's response was, who the fuck is Adam, and why the hell you got to cut the motherfucker in half? You know, I thought we were past this.
And someone goes, sounds good. Utah. Make it two.
Oppenheimer goes, we're not really going to do it. It's too dangerous. And somebody goes, dude, no balls.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have hair on your sack if you don't do this.
Yeah. I'm going to have to pull this one on you guys, but I double dog dare you. You know,
the president of the United States was like, I want you to build it. He says, "What? Well, I don't want to build it." And he goes, "Okay, I'll cornhole you for it. We'll play some cornhole.
That's it.
If I win, you have to build the bomb." All right, fine.
Every time someone says cornhole, I have to remind myself that it's a game now, and it's not like the other me.
Hey, what was that shit that we were on for a little while where we used to fucking walk around and tap the fucking beer bottles? If cornholes were around. Yeah.
Clack up your beer bottle on your buddy's beer bottle and it foams it up.
Yeah, drink, bitch. You got to pound that shit real quick before it. Yeah.
I couldn't tell, like, because I never drank beer. I just drank hard alcohol, so I could never play this game. But I could never tell if doing that was a dick move or not.
Oh, yeah. Total dick move. Yes, but hilarious at the same time.
That's the thing. Like, everybody laughed at it, but it's kind of a dick move.
Because you have to, at that moment, you have to deep throat that long neck. Because you're thinking, you're like, oh, and that's the beauty of it.
And 9 out of 10 times, you did it with somebody, like, right in the middle of fucking tossing game at some girl. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, just dink.
Yeah, he's far along in the game. True. Hey, how you guys doing? Nice to meet you. My buddy Matt's clack. Drink, bitch, and then walk away.
Yeah, that's probably true. The context in which you clacked their beer bottle is probably where the comedy was.
Yeah.
So,
yes, sir.
Anyway, so Robert Oppenheimer decides to pursue the atomic bomb after he lost a game of cornhole against the American president, apparently.
Perfect.
That's how we're telling it. now, check this out.
Drunken history.
So the symbols of the club, right? So they actually have their own patron saint. I had to look it up. It's John of Nepomuk or Nepomuk or N-E-P-O-M-U-K. yeah, right? So according to legend, Saint John of Nepomuk suffered death at the hands of a Bohemian monarch rather than disclose the confessional secrets of the queen. So basically, this priest was hearing the queen's confessions about banging the stable boy. And the king was like, you better tell me who she's banging. And this priest was like, I cannot break the confession. And so the king was like, well, fuck you. I'm going to kill you. So
and here's where you die.
So he died. And apparently at the Grove is a large wooden carving of St. John. And how creepy is this? The carving is St. John with his finger over his lips. Like shushing you. And it's symbolizing the secrecy kept by the people who go to Bohemian Grove. If you invite me to a summer camp and the first thing you tell me is there's a giant statue of a Catholic saint telling you to be quiet,
I'm out.
I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to start covering my butt and looking for priests. It's like, just don't ask, don't tell when you're at summer camp. It doesn't work for me.
Right, right.
What's that old joke? If you went camping and you woke up the next morning and your butt was sore and there was a used condom next to you, would you tell anybody? And they go, ew, no. And you go, you want to go camping? It's kind of like that. I'm out. Yeah. And then their mascot is an owl, right? So they actually have a 30-foot stone hollow owl. I guess it's either stone or concrete. I don't know if it was carved or if it was built, but it's hollow. And they have a sound system inside of it. And the owl is this – I mean, it's creepy as hell looking. I'll put a picture up. But the owl has if you check our messenger chat, I sent pictures of these ahead of time so you could look.
Oh, dude, this is disturbing. The owl's disturbing.
Right? Dude, that's some culty kind of like.
Hey, no, this is some fucking straight like Stargate Atlantis, you know, different.
Yeah.
Costume.
I know.
I'm not joking. Like, I know, like, you know, just we're bringing lighthearted cornhole, you know, drinking. But if you look at this picture of this owl, it's like a alien owl and looking down at them.
Yeah, because like, it's not like a real owl. It's this weird stylized, like,
yeah,
evil. No,
yeah, it's a great.
No, that picture looks like a still shot. Like somebody took a still shot from some weird movie,
right?
But it's real life. But it's real life.
And, some fucking children in the corn shit.
Yeah. So now every year, they do a ceremony, called the Cremation of Care, and it was basically this idea that it's just like a little play. Like they do this mini play where Jinx, the hero, is slain or care, like the caring about stuff or having concerns or having worries, gets slain by Hijinx, the hero. So it's all goofy rich people symbolism for, hey, we're here to have fun, so we're gonna have our hero Hijinx kill our concerns and burn the body in effigy. So they burn like a human body in effigy, and they cremate care, and it's supposed to be exercising their demons of pent up like stress and all this kind of stuff to start their 2-week, you know, summer camp. And I've been camping. I've been on retreats with fellow men. I've done guy weekends. And usually it starts like the hangover. You all go up to the roof. You do a shot of something strong. You take a solemn vow that nobody's going to dime each other off for whatever stupid shit happens. And we all agree to watch each other's back so nobody gets arrested. And then you have your weekend.
That's it. That's as far as the ritual goes. The ritual starts with fucking cracking open a beer, not fucking wearing hoods in front of a fucking giant creepy owl.
Right. And burning.
I would bet money they're probably naked while this is happening.
No robes. They're naked under their robes.
Naked under their robes, yeah.
Naked under their robes, for sure.
There we go.
So they have like
By the way, yeah. I would be the guy. I'm sorry, I would be the guy that show up in the fucking silky Buffalo Bill number. You know, saying the robe. Everyone would show up in like these really dark, creepy robes, and I'd be like, "Oh, fuck me." Do the little dance.
Silence of the Lambs. It rubs the lotion on its skin. By the way, that is a a pocket impression that I have. Like I always call them pocket impressions. When you have an impression of something that nobody knows that you can actually impersonate, is the killer from Silence of the Lambs. And the only way I can do it, I have to start by going, "Oh, was she a great big fat person?"
Yeah.
Was she a great big fat person? Anyway, so they you know, burn their concerns in front of this 30-foot owl with pyrotechnics and actual fire. And anybody hear of a newscaster, a famous newscaster named Walter Cronkite?
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite provided the voice for the owl.
But okay, so what was the owl saying?
The owl narrates the whole thing, like, "And our hero slays the." I mean, so here's what's interesting: is
Do you think they told him? Or do you think he thought he was narrating something because it's so ridiculous? He thought he was narrating something for Disney. Like he goes into the studio and I'm like,
"No, he's a full blown member.
He's a full blown member, bro."
Yeah.
Right, dude. Teddy Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan. Walter Cronkite, Barack Obama, George W. Bush,
I saw the picture.
Was Orson Welles ever a member? Because that would have been a better voice for the owl in my opinion.
No. I think the best voice for the owl would have been Paul Frees, who is the voice of the Haunted Mansion.
Oh yeah.
Oh, by the way, you want me, Marco? I'm gonna blow your mind right now. You know what Paul Frees is also the voice of?
I thought Orson Welles did the Haunted Mansion originally.
No.
This room actually stretching?
Didn't he do Winnie the Pooh as well? Was that him?
No, that was Sterling Holloway.
That was Sterling Holloway, yes. Yeah.
Paul Frees is Poppin' Fresh, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
What?
Really?
The Pillsbury Doughboy and the voice of the Haunted Mansion are the same person. And what's funny is, when you go back and listen to either one of them now, and you really listen, you'd be like, "Oh my God, I can totally tell it's the same person."
That's amazing.
Imagine going through the Haunted Mansion being like, "There's always my way." Anyway, so they burn, Walter Cronkite does the voice of the owl. They burn the bodies in effigy, and then they start their party, right? And then they end, like all summer camps do, with a play, like a musical.
I thought they're long goodbyes and letters home. Hello, mother.
Hello, father. But they spend, like in the 70s, they were spending 20 or 30 grand on their play at the end of the week or at the end of the 2 weeks.
And that's a chunk of change, but yeah, back then.
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's about
what would that be now? What would that be now?
I did the math.
Inflation. 150.
Yeah, about 150 grand. I did the math, and it's musical numbers, cast, crew. Like I imagine, like Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan up the "Hello, my baby."
It's like a whole Broadway production.
I'm sorry. I get them in my head with the little straw hat.
Michigan City. Yeah.
This little Rockettes freaking chorus line number with high kicks and shit.
Right. So they don't allow women. The only time women and kids
can go. Surprise.
Exactly. For the woke politicians that don't allow women in their club. They don't allow women, but women and children are allowed to go as guests during
the play.
Right.
Yeah. During the off daddy. Season.
During the off season. So like if you're a member, because this is cool. The club is got its membership like headquartered in San Francisco. And if it's not during their big annual meetings, you can book out the facility and like have guests. So it's like
as
having
long
your
as
own
member.
As long as you're a member. Which that's kind of cool. And again, I'm not saying that Bohemian Grove was founded on the idea of being a diabolical organization. Bohemian Grove really, for all intents and purposes, is a camping club.
Right.
And yeah, they just happen to have 2,700 of the most beautiful redwood acres in all of California as their private, you know, just off of a river. That's their little private playground. But anytime you have secrecy and people that are that powerful getting together for 2 weeks a year, I get worried.
Oh yeah. It turns bad real quick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care what your intent was starting it, but yeah, like you said, you put that many snakes in the same den, they're going to, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. So there's been a ton of books written about it. You can look it up. There's a ton of pictures on it. But what's I find most interesting, and again, this goes back to my suspicious nature, right? It goes back to my, if you don't tell me, if I can't see it, if you won't let me see it, then I start to think you have something to hide.
Right.
I was this way as a cop too. I was like, hey, do you have any drugs in the car? No. Do you mind if I take a look? Well, yeah, I don't want you looking at my car. Oh, cause you got drugs in there. that was my thought process. And admittedly, I'm the same person. I'm like, hey, no, you can't search any, come back with a warrant. You know, that's my welcome mat outside of my front door says, do you have a warrant? You know, but
mine actually says it would have been cooler if you brought tacos.
That's amazing.
Look that it up. Amazing. I'll show you guys. Oh, amazing. It says it would have been cooler if you brought tacos.
The next big thing that I ever saw about this, was about a decade ago, maybe a little bit longer. There's an author who writes like government spy thriller type books, like National Treasure kind of shit, where, you know, secret organizations and blah, 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 blah. Guy's name is Brad Meltzer, and he did a TV show for a while called Decoded. And they would look into things like, the cornerstone, the missing cornerstone, I guess, for the White House or some of these other things. And one of his episodes was about Bohemian Grove. And he had these three journalists that he employed, and then he would, you know, give them their assignments, and then the episode would be them going out and investigating it and then coming back and telling him what they found. When they went to investigate Bohemian Grove, part of that was realizing that you could reach Bohemian Grove's property from the river. You just rent a boat upriver. Mm-hmm. You take the river down. You reach Bohemian Grove's property. They have a little dock. So they pulled off to the side and walked onto the property. Now, granted, it wasn't during their big meeting. It was, you know, the camp was closed and nobody was there except, you know, the maintenance staff or whatever. So they pulled off. And if I remember correctly, they, as soon as they walked onto the property, even, you know, any distance, somehow security just 2,700 acres and security was right there, man. They got better security than the US border. And these people, these three journalists, got arrested for trespassing and were told that the Bohemian Grove group wouldn't charge them with a crime as long as they basically surrendered all of their footage. Hmm. Right? The most famous infiltration, and we're going to bring up a name that everybody's going to love now. The way this man became famous, or one of the first ways he made a name for himself, there was a gentleman, or is a gentleman, who basically conducted a great, like, private espionage operation where he, excuse me, he was he basically played secret agent all by himself and posed as an employee and a guest and, you know, straight did hitman number and snuck into Bohemian Grove with a video camera.
Oh, damn.
And actually got video of the ceremony with the owl and then snuck out and got the video out and published it and, you know, made a name for himself by actually getting the video and scooping everyone and saying, I got video and none of y'all do. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones.
The one and only.
The king of unpopular political theories.
Hypotheses.
Hypotheses. The king of unpopular political hypotheses, Mr. Alex Jones himself. You know, and hey, even a broken clock is right twice a day. I don't know, like, all this idea that the school shootings are false flag operations and nobody was actually hurt and all this other craziness. But the bottom line is the guy really did sneak in. He really did get video of this stuff, and you really can watch it because of his video. And I think to myself, anybody that wants to cover something up that bad when it's that much of a secret and there's that many high-powered people there, that concerns me.
Yeah, that doesn't pass the smell test. That's
right. Right.
That's you're automatically just making yourself look like you have something to hide.
Right. So that it's just scratching the surface, because I know people have said to me a couple of times, you know, you mentioned Bohemian Grove. What is it? This, that, the other thing. So look it up. Google Earth it. You can't see shit on Google Earth because
I'm sure you can't.
They probably just pixelated over the trees, you know, the way they do when you can't show you like Nellis Air Force Base, you know, and things like that.
Right.
For strategic reasons. But I don't know about you guys. None of that really surprises me that would exist. But what does bother me is the potential for malfeasance, the potential for things to go bad, the potential for these men to alter the course of history with just 2 weeks every year in the California Redwoods, hence the Manhattan Project. No Manhattan Project, no nuclear weapons. No nuclear weapons, no nuclear Cold War with Russia, where, you know, growing up, I was watching Red Dawn and Miracle Mile and War Games. And I, you know, every night I went to sleep wondering if we were going to get nuked by Russia.
Yeah. Sorry, Miracle Mile. I'm going to have to rewatch that. That was such a great movie.
Oh, great. You're stuck. I'm stuck on, do you want to play a game?
Yeah. That was a good one too.
Oh yeah. So
they're good.
Before we get onto our emails, thoughts, gentlemen.
I'm gonna look into that some more. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I have the phone balanced on a stack of books, and I was looking at some of the titles of them. And
squirrel.
Anyway, yeah, pretty much. I'm definitely gonna have to look into that because you know, you've heard the name before, but you don't really, you know, you kind of gloss over it because it's so secretive. It's not really talked about, but the fact that shit is still happening, I want to know who's members now. Like I'd be curious to see if there's some sort of updated list of a who's who in the zoo within the past 6 years of who's been going there.
So it would be interesting. I'm thinking Dre is in there. Dre. Dr. Dre's in there. Kanye.
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Oh, Kanye for sure.
Kanye for sure.
I don't know. Kanye sure. Might be like, no, that's Illuminati shit. I'm not. Hey, you know what? I mean, Bohemian Grove could be the public face of the Illuminati summer camp.
Mm. Oh.
Yep.
If the Illuminati exists. Now, I will add this, and I'll throw up a picture. When we were kids, we used to always like point all the hidden like images on a dollar bill, right?
Yeah.
And all the symbolism. But there was one image that I could never get out of my head because it seemed so random, and it didn't look like it was part of the swirly twirly design pattern. It just seemed like it was this one little random thing. And again, I also sent it to the chat, Marco, but one of the images that appears to exist on the top right-hand corner of the front of a dollar bill is a teeny tiny owl. Yeah, I see you looking it up right now on the chat. In the top right-hand corner of every dollar bill is a teeny tiny owl. Or what looks like a teeny tiny owl.
I mean, I don't even know what that looks like. That just looks like a weird fucking.
Get a real dollar bill and see it. When you see it in person, you know, with your own eyeballs, hold on. It's there. the bottom line for me is this. I don't trust you. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're having these secret meetings, if they were like, yeah, we have these meetings. If somebody wanted to come in and take pictures, it's fine. You know, or if, you know, we have, you know, open to the public day and, or we, you know, this, that, and the other. But I would imagine that now what you were talking about, an updated membership list, it's probably a heavily guarded secret now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
because look, a private club and a private membership is one thing. I'm all for that. You want to have your little
right,
private
Friars club,
members only, you know, you got to be a member, you pay your dues, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you could still go into an Elks Lodge and see what the hell's going on. They're not like right, a super sure, secret freaking organization. And that's just, especially in today's climate, you're,
well, with that being said,
you look guilty as fuck.
You can go into an Elks Lodge, but the Masons is a whole different thing, right, though.
The Masons, Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. Yeah.
Bohemian mm-hmm. Grove.
Which we know are there. This is yeah, not a again, this is not a hypothesis, it's not a theory. This is we know that those exist for sure.
Nobody is debating whether they exist. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when we talked about Q. Somebody is putting the information out there, right?
Sure.
We know somebody is putting the information out there. The question is, are they full of, how full of shit are they, right?
Right. It's
the same thing with Bohemian Grove.
Right,
we
right,
know that a super secret camp out in California exists. The question is, other than the Manhattan Project, what other heinous shit have they concocted at their drunken cornhole fest?
So this is where we need our listeners. We need you all to blow us up.
Yes.
Sell us like dirty hookers so we can buy memberships into this club.
Ooh, I like it.
And then we can report back to you.
Exactly.
I wonder how much membership, like, I wonder what the vetting process is for that. That was asshole honking as they drove by.
What the hell? I was like, what is happening right now?
It sounded like the clouds were parting and the trumpets were shouting and all of a sudden Jesus was going to appear in the clouds and take us away. And I was so happy.
But like Monty Python style, was actually a whole bunch of kind of cardboard cutout kind of shit.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the end of, if you ever saw Kevin Smith's movie Red State, which is an amazing underrated movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it. I have to watch it.
It's Kevin Smith's like kind of horror crime thriller. And it's about a church that's supposed to be like the Westboro Baptist Church and how they're actually involved in like sacrifices and shit. It's ooh, crazy.
Yeah. Red it's, State. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Red State. Okay.
But anyway,
yeah. Email. So we're going to look and see what membership requirements are and costs. Yes.
I got it.
We'll get back to you.
It's good. It's good.
All right. So, we're going to read, an email that we got for the Locker Room Podcast. A couple here. So, says, gentlemen, yes, I know that is applying the term loosely. Permit me to start.
I like
by
it commend- already.
Permit me to start by commending you on the podcast and for all the support you give to all those so clearly needing it and for the education and entertainment I receive from the podcast. Much as I thought I knew a lot, you have made it clear that I don't know as much as others. Let me tell you, brother. Nobody knows as much as somebody else. Every day you're learning. So good for you for recognizing that you got to learn every day. I could make a lame ass, the more you know, or knowing is half the battle joke, but I will leave that to you. G.I. Joe.
I'll just give a little start. The more
star,
you know.
The more you know. Do, 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 do.
The important thing is that I keep picking up nuances and references that, coupled with my own experiences, have helped me connect with and support my nephew. He came home from his time in the Corps, as he put it, broken. It continues to be a work in progress to get him to play well with others. We don't use the word normal, as that has never applied to him nor anyone else in the family. Attaboy.
Yep.
Normal people are boring. A side note, he is rather proud that he has that actual phrase, does not work well with others, in his jacket. Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Any Marine who has the phrase, does not work well with others, in his jacket should be proud of that fact. What's that line from Gross Point Blank? I display a certain moral flexibility.
Moral flexibility, yep.
So thanks for the additional tools. Now the nice, nice crap is done. On to the real topic. Your working definition of bigotry from the Locker Room Podcast of 23 July. First, kudos for differentiating racism from bigotry and prejudice. I cannot tell you how many people need a dope slap, at least, for not knowing there are differences between the words. That is a whole separate rant on the general ignorance and stupidity of the populace as a whole. I suspect you could match me rant for rant there. Oh, shit. We would, that would be three people ranting, and it would be three, yeah. You correctly noted that racism is believing that one race is inherently superior or inferior to another based solely on race. Ta-da! Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Unfortunately, we incorrectly applied a good working definition for prejudice to bigotry. Essentially, the statement about judging someone based on looks or appearance is prejudice, as in prejudge. Bigotry is better thought of as stereotyping groups, as in, I don't like group X, they are all lazy. Well, first of all, there, my good friend, Malcolm, by the way, is his name, Malcolm G. When you say, I don't like group X, they are all lazy, I clearly know you're referring to my brown brother Marco here. So let's just not pretend we don't know you're saying brown people.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Malcolm, if that is your real name.
Yeah.
In behalf of the brown delegation, I'd like to respond to the allegations set forth by my white brethren.
The chair recognizes our brother from south of the border.
Yes, the chair recognizes the black bean.
I urge you to walk amongst the people, to take a stroll down the hot and sun-intolerant lands of the orchards and the fruit fields, and tell me how lazy my brother are. Please, I do understand that you are referring to the siestas and the cervezas, but please, before doing so, please remember that when you are putting that delicious apple to your mouth, where the apple came from and how it got down from the tree.
How does your South American political representative speak like a Southern politician from Louisiana?
That's what I've been dying about.
Okay.
Oh my God.
He says he just Malcolm said he just had to get that off his chest. He's a natural pedant and could not let it go. By the way, kudos to Malcolm for using the word pedant.
I'm sorry, but this flower is wilting after such a rant.
Okay. So he's right. Bigotry is grouping people together. Let's give a perfect example. All cops are racist. Bigotry.
Sure,
all white people are prejudiced against black people. What's the latest one from a politician? All white people have been trained to murder black people. It wasn't a politician. It was a college professor that just said it the other day. All white people have been trained to kill black people. So there's that.
I missed that day in white person class. Maybe I had a sick day or something.
I keep telling people like Malcolm from the era. Malcolm wrote the email. Milton from The Office. I was told there would be privilege. I still don't have any privilege, and my desk keeps getting moved. So Malcolm corrected that we were very specific about racism, but we dropped the ball a little bit on bigotry. And so we appreciate Malcolm for being pedantic, and we give you a hearty aha.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So
we
then
still need to get a bell. We need a little bell. Ding.
So this is the second email. This is Ricardo. Ricardo.
They call me Cuban Pete.
All right.
I'm the king of the Latin hits.
Whoa.
The ladies go chick-chicky-boom.
You can't do that. I can do that. You can't do that.
You just talk like a southern plantation owner, so we can talk like a Latin person.
That's ignorant. That's ignorant.
Don't be ignorant. You're white. You're not allowed to do anything, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry. You confused me for somebody who gave a fuck. All right, carrying on.
Ricardo writes, By the way, I'm going to have to give Marco a minute because Matt already knows the beginning of this email. Ricardo writes, "Hey, I'm at the piss part of your self-esteem episode."
I have not peed at all. We're going on.
It's true.
It's like almost on an hour or something. Or yeah. 40 something minutes.
Very proud of you.
Yeah. I'm at the piss part of your self-esteem episode and it got me thinking.
But I do have to go.
I just want to know how the piss part of the episode got this dude thinking.
Well, we do our best thinking in the bathroom.
I mean, that's true.
Call the office. Exactly.
Call the office.
So it got me thinking about
how.
Yeah, you're welcome, Ricardo. It got me thinking that I'm constantly having too high of standards when I see what past generations have done in their life and I look at myself. I feel like I have done nothing. I don't know if this is a good topic or if you can give me your thoughts on this. I'm 22. I'm around a lot of old timers. My supervisor at work started construction at age 13. Atta boy, right there. I respect that. Like, yeah, I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah,
13 years old, probably sweeping a construction site and picking up nails. Bought his first truck at 16. Atta boy. Three years to save up. He lived in Rosemead during the 70s, and I understand there's a time difference. Well, yeah. Okay. We are going to do and I'm going to send this to you guys. I want to do an episode on how the cost of education has way been overinflated. Like, it's like 300% greater than regular inflation, right? So that's a whole separate issue about how the cost of housing and the cost of education and things that you're supposed to be able to buy as a grown-up has gotten way too expensive.
Right.
But in the 70s, you know, you could go to college for like $3,000 a semester, and that was reasonable, you know. So he says, I understand there's a time difference. I just feel like I've done nothing with my life and that I should be doing more. It's more like I beat myself every day for not pushing myself earlier in life, like joining a police explorer program, young Marines, etc. I'm curious if I'm alone on this. Love the podcast. Stay great, Ricardo. So I think, Ricardo, you're not alone, right? But you're also worrying about letting the horse, closing the barn door after the horse has already escaped, right? You're not 13. You didn't start work at 13. We live in a different time where I don't even know if you can start work at 13 nowadays. I know 15 with a work permit.
Yeah. Even when we were younger, it was 15 with a work permit. As far as in California. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. The only way that would happen is like if your dad owns a construction company or like a landscaping business or like a roofing company, something like that, and you went to go work with your dad.
Paying you under the table.
Absolutely. Under the table, yeah. As far as like, I'm going to go work for this random construction company. Yeah. Right. You got
the hookup.
That comparison unfortunately no longer applies.
Right. So don't beat yourself up too hard for not working at 13 or buying a car at 16 or whatever. I didn't join the police explorers and I didn't, I had the application and I had a friend of mine that joined and I was going to join. And then for lots of reasons that include, you know, shit that was going on in my family at the time when I was in junior high and stuff, I just said, no, I'm not interested. And, you know, grew my hair out and got tattoos by the time I was 15. So it was, everybody's different. And my grandfather was a World War II veteran. I regret not signing up for the military when I went to do it. You know, I went to join. I was in the recruiter's office. I had the contract. I had a friend of mine. We were there. We had watched Top Gun one too many times and we were ready to sign on the dotted line. And I didn't. That's something I look back and I go, I wish I'd have done it. Everybody's going to have that. I'm sure I know Matt and Marco both have things where like, ugh, I wish I'd have done X sooner.
Yeah, for sure.
I had the same thing. Right out of high school, I went to go talk to a recruiter, and it was on Mr. T's recommendation when he wrote on my yearbook, have you considered the military?
And by Mr. T, we're not talking about B.A. Baracus from the A-Team. We had a teacher whose last name started with T, and we called him Mr. T, for the record.
Call him Mr. T. What is happening?
What is happening?
Fucking bee just came in here, and he's harassing me. Okay.
You guys, for those of you not watching this on YouTube, all of a sudden Matt just started spazzing out and we couldn't figure out what's wrong. So he's
doing some air karate there for a second. All right. I opened a window that doesn't have a screen on, and he came in, but now he's gone. He's gone. He's off to pollinate. Okay.
Pollinate. Anyways, I had the same. I had the same regret where I was like, you know, I wish. Looking back, I'm like, I should have done it. But obviously, looking back, then I wouldn't have done what I did in my young life for those 4 years. And we talked about this in the old Manstalgia podcast, which is comes down to surrounding yourself. You know, if you want to be influenced, if you want to move yourself to a different level or do different things, first of all, recognizing, first and foremost, dude, you're only 22.
That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you have so much time to recognize, and the fact that you're already recognizing, I'm not going to say faults or shortcomings, but I will say that you are recognizing that there are different directions that you can and want to move in the direction of. We said this in the Old Man Nostalgia podcast. Surround yourself with people that inspire you. Surround yourselves with people that have the same frame of mind, of the frame of mind that you want to move towards or be elevated towards, and keep your head on a swivel. You know, keep your head on a swivel, meaning don't mind the distractions. We're all distracted. There are other opportunities, other stuff that's going to come up, and you are young. You have a right to experience. You have every right to fuck up, to pick yourself back up. You know what I'm saying? To learn, and the fact that you are recognizing this at 22. Fuck, I didn't even recognize it until I was like 35.
and at 22, you're hardly past your prime.
Oh yeah. You are.
Whoo.
You know what? Well, he did serve, right? He came. Did he say that he served?
No. He hasn't served. He didn't join the police explorers or the young Marines. He's thinking about getting into that kind of stuff now.
He can.
But that's just it. He can.
You can join the reserves, and if it's kind of like dipping your toe in the water, you can join the reserves and still be, you know, and then roll over and be active and go to active if you wanted to. If you did find out that that's something, and that will get you some of that military discipline. I picked up that discipline from the friends that I had around me. From my friend Thomas and his, you know, his family being around. Well, his dad's side of the family, because whoo,
part
of
no. Dad. Well, my grandpa, my mom's dad.
Well, definitely
World War II vet. Yeah,
he was a grandpa. He was our grandfather. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, your grandfather was our grandfather. So, like, definitely, like,
right.
the grandfather, Matt's dad. Oh, holy militant! You know what I'm saying? Like, that man would get down on all fours. Yeah, that man would get down on all fours and scissor the lawn to make sure it's even. again, lucky. I was lucky enough to be influenced by people around. You know, Matt himself, Navy. You know, so it's. I didn't go, but that doesn't mean you cannot pick up those values from the people that you are surrounded by, and that's what I want to like say to them. You know.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's good. And you touched on it a little bit by be around people that inspire you, be around people that challenge you. You know, I won't get too scriptural, but the verse says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And I love that. Even if you don't like, you know, religious stuff, just look at it as a good piece of advice. It's true. You don't sharpen a knife with a softer metal. You have to sharpen it with something harder. You know, you don't cut glass with, you know, a piece of soapstone. You cut it with a diamond. So if you want to make yourself better, be around people that are better than you. If you want to get better at a sport, play against people that kick your ass. If you want to get better at chess, play chess against somebody who can smoke you and learn. You know, if you want to be tougher, fight against people that can kick your ass. It's just, you're never going to get better fighting below your weight class. You're only going to get better fighting above it.
Mm-hmm. And here's the deal, Ricardo, you already recognize that you, in your eyes, you may have missed some opportunities. And you need to light a fire in your ass. So that's great. That's step one. Now the next step is adjust your mindset and fucking do it.
Right.
So you know what you want to do. you feel you've missed some opportunities. Newsflash, you haven't. Like we've already said, you're 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's your shit. We're all in our 40s. I mean, you know, I had a career change at 38. Like you're 22, so
35.
Yeah, so 30. you know now that you want to kick it into gear. You got plenty of time ahead of you. There's plenty more gears you can, you know, kick it into. So just fucking do it. Just decide what you want to do. Make a plan of action. Commit. Adjust your mindset. Know that you can do it, and just fucking do it.
Yeah. Don't be this guy. Oh, I need to quit drinking.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, Ricardo, if you need to, reach out to us again. I'm not saying, I'm not being cheesy. I'm not being like, oh, we're here. We're your big brothers. But you know what? If you need to, some more advice, reach out, email us. Not a problem. If you want to come on and talk, if you want to come on and talk on the podcast, I'm sure we can figure out some way. And you know, say,
yeah, jump into the locker room. And that's what locker rooms are for, man. That's where all it's better than Bohemian Grove. That's where all the good decisions get made.
Yeah.
with the sound of a toilet flush in the background.
Well, not this episode.
No, thank God. But as soon as we're done, I'm gone.
Well, then on that note, I think we've had our emails and we've talked about Bohemian Grove. Give us your feedback. Write us an email. Matt, take us out.
Take us out. All right, guys, you can reach us on all of our socials. We are on the old Instagrams, Facebooks. Probably the quickest way to get a hold of us would be to slide in the old DMs, either on Facebook or, slide on it. Or on Instagram. You can also email us, which we still haven't got any emails from the actual email address, but I'm going to keep giving it out anyway. It's lockerroommailbag@gmail.com. I kind of check that pretty frequently, so drop us a line there. And remember to like and subscribe and leave us your comments. Shit talking is always welcome.
That's right.
Make sure you keep tuning in. We appreciate the support that we're getting. We're trying to grow this, and we can do that, you know, only with you guys. So we really, really appreciate that. And also,
and we'd be happy to cover topics they want if you write us. Hey, talk about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're always looking for. You know, we do a pretty good job coming up with shit, you know, ahead of time and even on the fly. But if there's something that you feel like we should discuss, by all means, just it can be a quickie. Hey guys, why don't you touch on this subject, and we'll
or something that you know that we don't think we have heard of, you know, bring it up to our attention and we will dive into it.
Yeah. For example, Area 52. I always joke that as soon as Area 51 became public knowledge, they're all move that shit.
Yep, move it. One over.
It's like, what's a Simpsons episode? What? Now you're in the Stonecutters. And if you have an emergency, you don't call 911. You call the secret number, 912.
Ooh.
All right. Any All final right. thoughts, boys?
Yeah, don't get hoodwinked by the giant stone owl.
Right.
Yeah. Does the owl have a name? I feel like the owl has to have a name. And I'm you can't sure say does. Hootie.
Hootie hoo. No.
And the blowfish.
Hootie hoo, hootie hoo.
We could. Okay. So how about we do that? We will send a, we'll send a, like a, we'll do a t-shirt giveaway or a hat giveaway or something. So if you
Best
first
name?
Person, yeah. For, well, okay. So we could do if the first person to either find out if the owl really does have a name, and if the owl doesn't have a name, we will have a name the owl contest.
I think we should just go to the name the owl contest. It's best name.
Best name for the Bohemian Grove owl.
Absolutely.
And it's not Freddie Mercury.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. You gotta be outside of the box here. Yeah. We need some good original shit. And what are they gonna win? A t-shirt?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But probably like our new hats are coming in for the War Stories podcast, or maybe a t-shirt for the War Stories podcast. So we'll figure out a prize. But send
loving
in your
those
name.
Ranger panties, by the way. Loving the silkies.
Oh my God, those things are so comfortable. Yard work, and the stretch, the mobility. Oh.
So funny story. I have in-laws in town this week, and I was we were swimming, and we, you know, did the whole thing. And then I went upstairs, changed out of my bathing suit and put my Ranger panties on, and I was looking for a t-shirt. So I'm wearing my Ranger panties, which I wear them all the time around the house. I wear them mowing the lawn, whatever. And my mother-in-law had first time she'd been over in a long time. And she comes walking upstairs to look for my wife. And she walks in, and I'm, you know, leaning over my drawer looking for a shirt, but I'm just wearing the Ranger panties. And she got so embarrassed because she thought they were underwear. and I'm like, what? And I turned around, and she's like, oh, and she's covering her face and everything. I'm like, no, these are just shorts. She's like, really? And she's like, because we used to wear them all the time. We called them dolphin shorts. I'm like, yeah, that's it. They're yeah, golf. They're exactly what Ranger they panties, yeah. Silkies, correct. Dolphin yeah. shorts.
So. I'm going to sport them tomorrow when I'm going to go for a little run after my swim. Yeah. And we'll just be rocking those bad boys down the beach.
So we still have some sizes left available. DM us if you want them. And then we're going to be making them available on the website, where you can also get the t-shirts. And hopefully the challenge coins will be done shortly. It's been a nightmare. But we should be picking them up today or tomorrow. So if there's nothing else.
I think that does it.
I think that does it.
Yeah. Thanks right. for joining us in the locker room, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See you guys.